Before we get into it, quick note from us. This podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
Right, let's get into it. Citi just posted its best quarterly revenue in a decade. Net income of $5.8 billion, EPS of $3.15, ROTCE of 13%, on $24.8 billion in revenue, and here's the kicker, over 9% positive operating leverage. That means revenue grew way faster than expenses.
And it wasn't one lucky business carrying the firm. Double-digit revenue growth in 4 of 5 segments. Services had its best quarter ever, over 30% returns. Markets crossed $7 billion again, up 17%, with equities up a stunning 40-plus percent on prime balances, jumping nearly 60%. Banking revenue climbed 34%. Investment banking up 44%. They had lead roles on marquee IPOs like SpaceX and Cerebras.
Wealth notched its 9th straight quarter of growth, up 13%, returns now over 14%. The one soft spot was U.S. consumer cards, heavy investment spend, including that American Airlines Barclays portfolio acquisition, weighed on operating leverage there, even though ROTCE for cards actually rose to 22%.
So strong quarter across the board, and yet, the stock dropped about 5% on the print. That's the real story here.
Exactly, and it all comes down to guidance. CFO Gonzalo Luchetti kept the full-year ROTCE target at 10 to 11%, even after hitting 13.1% year-to-date. Analysts did the math out loud. Glenn Shore and Mike Mayo both pressed hard on this. If you're at 13% for the first half, holding 10 to 11% for the year implies a real step down in the second half.
And management's answer was essentially, some of that's normal seasonality. Markets revenue historically drops about 20% between first and second half, but a lot of it is a deliberate choice. They said if the environment stays strong, they're going to lean in and accelerate investments and severance actions rather than just let the extra profit flow to the bottom line this year.
Jane Fraser put it bluntly, this is 100% offense. They're not defending market share or patching up legacy systems. They're pulling forward spending on things like AI, technology, marketing and cards, and structural efficiency work to lock in higher, more durable returns in 2027 and beyond.
It's a spend the windfall now strategy. They already took $800 million in severance in just the first half, matching all of last year, and signaled there could be more in the second half if opportunities arise.
On the balance sheet side, capital looks solid. CET1 ratio at 12.8%, well above their regulatory minimum. They announced a 12% dividend increase and are running a $30 billion buyback program, having already repurchased $4 billion this quarter.
Credit quality was also a bright spot. Corporate credit stayed clean, and even in cards, delinquencies and losses came in better than expected. Consumer spending looked resilient, up 6 to 7%, even excluding the new airline card portfolio.
There were a couple of housekeeping items, too. Jen Landis wrapped up a run as head of investor relations to become CFO of the markets business, handing the reins to Margot Pylik. And Citi continues unwinding its Mexico business, Banamex. They've now sold down over 49% of that stake, with full deconsolidation expected in early 2027.
The other big theme was AI, not as a buzzword, but operationally. Nearly 9 in 10 Citi employees are using their internal AI tools now, and management pointed to it as a real driver of productivity and faster product rollouts, like their new Payments Express platform.
So, Jordan, bottom line for listeners, what do we take away here?
I think the headline is, this was genuinely a strong quarter operationally. Record revenue, broad-based growth, improving returns in every single business line. The market's nervousness isn't about weakness. It's about uncertainty over how much of that excess profit gets reinvested versus returned to shareholders in the back half. That's a trust management's execution story, not a something's broken story.
Right. And it's worth remembering, Everything discussed here is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please do your own due diligence.
Investors will be watching the third quarter closely to see whether that step up in investment spending starts translating into the kind of momentum management is promising for 2027 and beyond.
That's it for this episode of Beta Finch. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next time as we break down the next set of numbers.
Take care, everyone.